Roughly 1 in 5 children today are living in poverty. Compared with 50 years ago, in 1968, there are now 60% more Americans living below the poverty line. Corporation profits are near the highest levels in history. The 3 richest Americans own as much wealth as the bottom half of the American population. The 2017 proposed tax bill would only heighten this disparity, giving 80% of tax cuts to the top 1%. Josh Hoxie, who co-authored the Institute for Policy Studies on Billionaires, said, quote, "So much money concentrated in so few hands while so many people struggle is not just bad economics, it's a moral crisis." The dominant narrative in this country is still one in which poor people are blamed for their poverty. And it is not surprising, we probably all know, at least in our minds, that Black and Brown communities, as well as First Nation communities, suffer the most from poverty in our country. I do not support this tax bill, and my guess is that not many of us in here do. It is not because it's coming from the Republicans. It's not, I would not support this tax bill if it were coming from the Democrats. This is not about affiliation with a political party, but about an affiliation with Jesus Christ. Jesus, we remember, affiliated himself with the poor. In the story of Jesus' birth, according to Luke, we learn of the circumstances whereby Jesus' family had to travel to Bethlehem from Nazareth. It was, among other things, because of the Roman tax system. The Roman tax system was a burdensome system that benefited the rich, and the poor were forced to pay heavy taxes. In fact, many of the insurrection movements during this time in the Roman Empire were centered on resisting the tax system. Jesus' family was subject to this tax system, and it forced them and so many others into precarious situations. And in the case of Jesus' family, it contributed to them being in a temporary state of homelessness. This was the state in which Jesus was born. We don't talk about this enough, but I think we should. Every person who chooses to affiliate with Jesus Christ today is simultaneously making a choice to affiliate with the needs of the poor in our land. We cannot separate the moral issue of poverty from our discipleship to Jesus Christ. Every church community that organizes itself around being disciples of Jesus has a moral agenda to work with and for the poor, to advocate that their needs be met, whether we are counted as one among them or not. There is no Christian gospel without a concern and advocacy for the moral issue of poverty. Poverty in our context is deeply connected with the systems of white supremacy and capitalism, and so to be a Christian is to critically stand in opposition to those forces. Now, some of you have maybe heard about the organizing that is taking place around a new Poor People's Campaign, led in part by Reverend William Barber, who is a Disciples of Christ minister, and he's also often known as the leader of the Moral Mondays movement in North Carolina. The new Poor People's Campaign hopes to continue the work of the old Poor People's Campaign, which took place 50 years ago in 1968. And it was led by Marion Wright Edelman, Bayard Rustin, and Martin Luther King, and other many other freedom fighters who helped in organizing. The mission of the Poor People's Campaign back then in 1968 was spelled out by the SCLC, and it is this, to quote, "challenge the enmeshed evils of systemic racism, poverty, the war economy, ecological devastation, and America's distorted national morality. Unfortunately for us today, these evil systems that the SCLC mentioned are in many ways magnified and more catastrophic today than they were before. So there is a call from Reverend Barber and others to continue the work of the new Poor People's Campaign. In May and June of this coming year, 2018, there are going to be a series of mass demonstrations and civil disobedience in capitals all around the country, culminating on a march on the Capitol on June 19th. So we will stay tuned for how we can be involved with this as a church, and you can mark your calendars today. Well, Reverend Barber has said that the Poor People's Campaign, again, is not about left or right. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about right and wrong. This is a moral issue, he says. When the President of the United States proclaims that with him we'll be able to say Merry Christmas again, while at the same time an immoral tax bill is put into place that tramples on the needs of the poor, I can't help but wonder how the Christian gospel has been co-opted by our empire, how it has become sanitized and domesticated so that Jesus has nothing to say about the moral issue of poverty, but instead is just a sweet little innocent cute infant. That's the story we tell sort of out of context of everything else that was happening in his life. I want to take just a moment to look at the gospel reading this morning and reflect on it in light of what we've been talking about. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, which is actually not read very much in the season of Christmas for understandable reasons, because Mark doesn't tell the story of Jesus' birth. There are no details about it. There's no Mary. There's no story of Joseph or Elizabeth or Zechariah. There are no shepherds or magi. There's no genealogy. Both Matthew and Luke have a genealogy as a prelude to their gospel, but in Mark, none of this is there. Instead, Mark opens his gospel as if to startle us with words from the prophet Isaiah. "Look, I'm sending a messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." And then enter center stage John the Baptist, the wild prophet wearing wilderness clothing, camel's hair and a leather belt, feasting on locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist was a prophet in the tradition of Elijah in the Hebrew scriptures. He called people to change their lives, to turn from evil and injustice toward just ways of living. He was known to have said to people that if you have two shirts, you should share one with someone else who doesn't have a shirt. The same with food, share what you have. He spoke truth to power, and as we know, Herod Antipas had John arrested and executed because of his dissident behavior. What is happening that Mark puts John the Baptist on the scene at the beginning of his gospel in order to tell the story of Jesus? What is that about? Well, theologian Ched Myers answers this question in a helpful way. He says that Mark is giving us a prophetic genealogy for Jesus. In other words, it's more important for Mark to tell us about where Jesus came from in terms of his prophetic tradition rather than where he came from in terms of his kin. John the Baptist is placed here because he served as a kind of mentor and prophetic trainer for Jesus. Jesus's ministry on the margins and among the poor is shaped by John the Baptist. When John the Baptist is killed, Jesus essentially takes on John's message and begins building a movement among the disenfranchised. Think about this in terms of our contemporary situation with the example that I gave about Reverend Barber and taking on the prophetic task of the Poor People's Campaign. 50 years ago, that work that Dr. King and Marion Wright Edelman and Bayard Rustin back then schooled people like Reverend Barber in the movement that is happening today. We are not only shaped by our kinship ties, we are shaped according to our prophetic lineage, which is not based on blood or biological kin. What Mark's gospel wants to have us reflect on is, what prophetic tradition will you submit yourself to and school yourself in? Who are your prophetic mentors? What streams of social liberation movements will we step into as a church because we're claiming a prophetic lineage? I am often struck by the fact that Jesus needed to be a disciple of someone too. We all must be disciples of someone to do any good work that we do. We have to submit ourselves to be schooled and trained in a certain prophetic lineage. We must not allow the American empire to co-opt the Christian gospel. We must reclaim the stories for ourselves and allow ourselves to be schooled by the gospel's prophetic message. If we are to stay alert in this season of Advent, we might do well to remember that Jesus was not only born into this world as a vulnerable child in poverty, who concerned himself with the poor and was among them, but also Jesus was someone who took the time to learn from his prophetic ancestors. He was schooled in a prophetic tradition, building on that tradition for his own work. To stay alert in Advent, we must be intentional about hearing the prophets' voices in our time. It is how we stay faithful in the mess and murk of this world. I refuse to allow the name of Jesus Christ to be used like Santa in our country. Just another commodity that serves to bolster our ideology of materialism and supremacy of whiteness and wealth. That is not the gospel story. It never has been. And as long as we have voices and life in our bodies, we will stand and advocate for the needs of the poor in our land, for the people of color in our land, because we are disciples of this Jesus and the God of liberation. And I believe that the God of liberation has always stood and worked on the side of the poor. Let us not be afraid to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in this season of Advent, which is good news to the poor and some pretty uncomfortable news for the rich. Amen.